Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever gotten to a place in life where you find yourself asking, what now? That's right, what now? Circumstances and situations have happened. You feel as if you've been hit from the left and the right. You feel as if nothing that you do ends up working out the way that you desire for it to work out, and you just don't know what you need to do right now. The reality is we've all been there. And sometimes we've been there without the tools, techniques, and strategies to help us make effective decisions to produce the future that we desire. You don't have to do this alone anymore. I invite you to listen to my podcast. That's right. My name is Clifton Pettyjohn. I'm a purpose strategist, author, transformation coach, and spiritual leader. And I host the What Now podcast. And the What Now podcast is simply conversations that teach us how to effectively face life's most difficult moments. That's right, life's most difficult moments. So if you're interested in hearing the podcast, I encourage you to visit my website, www.cliftonpettyjohn.com. Again, www.cliftonpettyjohn.com. There's a tab for the podcast, and you can pick your favorite platform. We're available on multiple platforms, so you can pick your favorite platform, pick the platform, subscribe to the podcast, listen, comment, and share. All right? So I encourage you again, make sure that you are listening to the What Now podcast. What's up, everybody? My name is Clifton Pettyjohn, and you are listening to Transformation Radio, where we transform lives through purposeful conversation. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Transformation Radio. That's right, Transformation Radio, where we transform lives through purposeful conversations, regardless of how uncomfortable and unpopular those conversations are. Again, my name is Clifton Pettyjohn. I'm a purpose strategist, author, transformation coach, and spiritual leader. I provide tools and strategies to transition you from a life of merely existing to living a life full of purpose. All right. And that's to each and every one of you that's listening. We all have the ability to live an abundant life full of purpose. Now, of course, if you listen to the show, you've heard my story, you've heard our guest story. And tonight we have another amazing guest. She has such a powerful story. You're going to hear some of our processes that got us into that state of transformation and the transitions we experienced, you know, to discover that purpose was always right inside of us. So we want you to understand that your purpose is tangible as well. All right. So listen, I want to hit a few things before I get to the guests. First, guys, you hear my intro. I don't like it. Okay. And you know, I've been trying to work with the intro forever. If you are out there, you are listening, you are an independent artist, you are willing to sit down with me and talk about writing an intro song for our show. The song has to be about transformation. I just want to sit, give you the idea, and I want you to get sick, crazy, and creative with it. And we'll go from there. We can discuss the logistics just in sitting down. So if you're interested in that, I want you to reach out to me. You can call our office at 302-648-5544. Leave a message letting us know that you're calling about the show intro song, all right? Because I'm ready to take the show to the next level, but I feel like to take it to the next level, our intro has to be right, guys. And listen, I have a lot of gifts, talents, and abilities. Music is not one, all right? Some of you heard me sing on here. You heard me sing on the podcast. That's not anything that needs to be done publicly at all, but I do it anyway. But I want somebody that is just crazy, that is willing to go as far out as possible to create a song that fits this show, all right? Number two, I want to speak to our audience as well, because many of you guys are churchgoers. You attend church, and you have relationships with God. I want to encourage those of you that are at a struggle right now, because today I know that 45 did make steps to, or not even make steps to do it. He actually did it. He officially stated that churches were essential businesses. Therefore, that means that churches are going to be opening up. There's mixed feelings. I understand both sides of it. But my encouragement to those of you that are out there and you don't feel convicted to go, you understand that God moves virtually just as much as he moves in person. I don't want you to be discouraged when you hear other people attempt to attack your faith in God or your belief in God because you choose to worship him virtually. Understand, I understand both sides. But I want you to be encouraged to understand, do whatever it is that you feel personally convicted to do. Don't feel pressured to do anything. Understand that God is far beyond the four walls of the building, and that when we understand what ministry is can be effective everywhere, then we can begin to understand God even more, okay? So I just wanted to encourage you that we're out there, because I know some of you are wrestling with that on tonight. But I don't want you to wrestle with it. I want you to understand God is not subject to a building. And if this pandemic has taught us one thing, that should have been one of the things that it taught us, is that, you know, we have the ability to still experience a move of God far beyond the building. Okay? So let's go. As you all know, our show is not like a normal show. It is not a normal interview. We have conversations. Why? Because I believe that there is power behind conversations. I believe that when we connect with the right conversationalists, then they begin to unlock dreams, gifts, talents, and abilities that we have suppressed and haven't quite yet been discovered. They have the ability to water them. They have the ability to plant them, whatever part they play in it, so that God can add the increase. So that's why we use a conversation here on this show. And I'm a big proponent of organic conversation. Organic conversation. Not where it's staged, not where any of that goes on, but we allow the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, we allow God just to have his way. So tonight's no different. But we want you involved in the conversation as well. And you know I open up the phone lines throughout the entire show. Why? Because we want you guys joining the conversation, whether it's with your questions or you want to add something to the subject that we're discussing. With that said, I remind you, each and every one of my guests come from a different background and many have different belief systems. Transformation Radio is a safe space for individuals to express their belief systems without being judged, without feeling attacked, and without feeling as if they're wrong, okay? So if something is said by me or my guests that you disagree with, again, you have the right to disagree. However, let's make sure when we call in, we do that in a respectful manner. Why? Because when we learn to respect each other, man, the possibilities are endless. And we can learn so much from each other. We don't have to agree with everything that each other believes, but we can learn so much from each other. I feel like I used to be a closed-minded person. And one of the things that I learned when I began to open up my mind more and travel a little bit was that I was missing out on so much because I had been so closed-minded because of, you know, personal beliefs and what was told to me, and I adapted myself. So this is a space for you to open up your mind a little bit. Not saying you have to grab everybody's belief system, you know, have your own personal convictions, but hear their story to understand how they came from where they came from and where they are now. All right. So again, you can call in. I do have to limit callers' times to 1 minute. That's right. 1 minute so that everybody has an opportunity to talk. The call-in number is 516-387-1756. Again, 516-387-1756. All right, guys, you've heard enough of me. You probably want me to shut up. No, you don't. Y'all enjoy it. I hear your feedback, and I appreciate it. Now, tonight we have another amazing guest. You know the theme for this month has been women. We have been focusing on mothers and daughters and sisters and women that are just changing this world in ways that years ago never would have been thought and or imagined. Tonight we're continuing with that same theme. We have Mrs. Wanda Booth with us, and she is a veteran, a professional speaker, a professional coach, a trainer, and a financial advisor, guys. So without further ado, I want each and every one of you to help me welcome Wanda to the show. Wanda, how are you tonight?
Hi. Hey, Cliff. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. 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 Good. Again, I want to thank you for your willingness to join us on tonight and your willingness to share with us. We know that after we hear from you, and I say this to every guest because I believe it before I invite you on the show, I believe that this conversation is going to literally transform the lives of our listening audience, those who are listening live and those that will hear the replay.
Amen. I'm in prayer all day, so I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm one of his warriors, so you guys are
all right.
Ready.
Let's go. All right, here we go. So I always start every conversation with an icebreaker, the same icebreaker. I don't think I've ever not used this one unless I had somebody on two times. But here's the question. If you had one superpower, what would that superpower be and why?
Okay. You have to work with me on this one. So I want to move things with my mind. It is what it is.
Wow.
I do. I want to be able to have that power. It's like this movie called Matilda back in the days, I think. And she was able to, you know how you could take your hand and just move things? So I like to drive, but sometimes people get on my nerves when I drive. And I'm not one of those who flick you off or cuss or nothing. But I truly want to just be able to just take the car and move it. I know that sounds horrible, but I just want to be able to move things. That's it.
Listen, I definitely understand that. I get it. You know, I definitely get it. Telekinesis, I think that's what it's called. And listen, I can understand with that traffic because sometimes where did you get your driver's license from? Are you serious right now? I get it. But I'm going to explain to you why I asked this question, because it never fails. It always happens. Many people always answer this question according to what it is that they've been created and designed to do. And as a speaker, an advisor, and all that you do, trainer, all that you do, you speak and it moves people with the mind. It transforms their mind. And causes them to make moves in different patterns and it reroutes them, you know. So that's why I always like to start every conversation with that question, because everybody answers it according to their purpose. And sometimes we don't even realize it. That's just how powerful it is.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that because I do. I like moving things. I like when water moves.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like it. I like it.
So now we're going to go into our game, word association.
Okay.
I'm going to throw some words out there at you. You can either give a one-word answer. You can give a phrase. I forgot to tell you this while we were off the air. But if you can
mm-hmm.
sing, I tell people all the time, if you can sing and a song comes to mind, you want to sing a song from the word, you are welcome to do that as well, okay?
Okay, I might do it. I can't sing, but I still sing.
See, I was just talking about that with myself. I don't care.
That's why I joined the choir.
Do
I'm not the soloist, it's the choir.
So the first word is life. Life.
Mm. Oh, okay. Life to me, I just feel, I'm going to say mushy. Because I don't want to say, I know a lot of people want to say it's big, it's abundant, and then some people may say it kind of sucks or something, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it's like Play-Doh. You know, you can form it and transform it into anything you want. Like you can mold it, or you can just squish it and start over. So life to me is like Play-Doh, or yeah, it's like Play-Doh. Something's mushy. You can form it, shape it, make it into a ball. You have the power to do whatever you want to do to move it and shape it. So that's it. That's it. I like that.
Now I have a question from that. How did you get to that understanding that life can be like Play-Doh, and regardless of what, you know, we develop habits of saying, take whatever life hands me, this is my lot. How did you get to the place where you understood you had the authority, you had the power inside of you to shape and mold it into whatever it is that you desire?
For me, it was truly as a young age. So unlike a lot of people, especially the young kids now, my own children, I was raised by 4 generation of women. So I had my great-great-grandmother,
okay.
great-grandmother, grandmother, and my mother living with us. You know,
wow.
You all stay within a house a block apart. So I had 90-year-old aunts. You know, my one great-aunt passed away at 104, we think, or 100. And because she stopped counting. That's why we don't really know. She said once you get hit 100,
right.
I don't count anymore. She's funny. But I was surrounded by older people and older women. And for me, with them, growing up as, African-American, Black American,
mm-hmm.
growing up was hard. I grew up in kind of in the South and a very hard life. But they always told me you can always deal with things. They always brought people in. They always fed people. So I grew up knowing that
mm-hmm.
if I wanted not to be on drugs or if I didn't want to have a baby early, I can choose my story. I can choose what I want to do. So I'm going to say they pretty much, I grew up knowing I can do, believe. And I was one of those girls, they put me in the church like every single day. I was in lodge. I was in choir. I was singing. I was doing everything. So I had that faith base to believe that I truly believe God was my daddy. I was one of those young ones. So I just do that. Yeah, I was born in faith.
Awesome, awesome. Now the next word is transition. Transition.
Transition, I'm going to say move through. We're going to stick on the theme of moving, but I see transition is moving through. I see like a butterfly. In order to transition and to go through, you have to go through the caterpillar stage. You have to be set alone. You have to fight your way out of the cocoon. You're going to have to go out there and try to find your nectar. You're going every step of the way as transitioning, get to the next level, you're going to have to move through it. So we may look at this phase as stuck, but it's not, because that's what's going to be 10 steps from now. So just keep moving through.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep moving through.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, piggybacking right off of that, momentum.
Mm-hmm. Don't stop. You could take a knee. That's what. So in the Army, we have a term called take a knee, right? And I think in sports, when coach is done and something's hard, you get on your knee and you take your helmet off and you re-look at what happened in the past or what the plays were or what the mission was. So for me, momentum is, just you can stop, because a lot of people tell you don't stop, don't sleep, don't rest. I'm not from that theory. I believe in sleep. I believe in rest. I believe in taking care of yourself. But what I do believe, you should take a knee, but never in your mind quit. And I think it's different from quitting and letting the body rest versus in your mind when you quit, because that's when you the soul leaves. You know what I'm saying? So don't let the soul quit on you. Just always stay movement. Mm-hmm.
And I think people need to hear what you just said about it's okay to take a knee. It's okay to take care of you, because I think a lot of – I'm a literal person. So I used to be so literal, like it was just like crazy to a degree. That's the only way I know how to describe it. Like if you tell me something, I'm going to take it literally. So when people used to tell me you can't quit, in my mind, taking a break to allow myself to be restored and replenished, that was quitting. And that's why I feel like so many people need to hear what you just said. Even in the military, you said it. You know, you guys had to take a knee, you know, but don't quit. Don't quit. Now, let's talk about that from the military standpoint. How did the military help shape your view on life and transition and momentum and all of those things?
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's see. I joined at 17. So I tell people that I joined at 17 to let them realize that I turned 18 in uniform. I was still a child. I mean, my grandmother had to sign me up. And now that I'm 45 and I have kids of my own, right, my son will be 17 this year, and I look at him like, oh, my goodness, at your little tender age, my young kid, I was looking to find out how to go to college. He's not ready.
I get it.
That's my baby, but he ain't ready.
Right.
But
at
17, I raised my hand. And so as I tell people, and I wrote this in my book, I wrote a book called Insight 2020. It's about the 20 insights that I've gained in the military. And one of the things I put I love dedication out to all the NCOs, all the leaders, and everyone in the military. I said, when I tell you guys that I love my sergeants, and they were like my daddy, we used to call like one platoon daddy. I said, I want you to understand that is a term of adornment, that it was someone who cared enough about me to make sure, because I wasn't his biological child, but he took care of me when I was stationed in Germany to make sure I didn't do anything stupid, if you will, when I was 18 and 19, hanging out in Germany. You know? So those are the people who raised me. So I tell people when I turn 18, I had other men and women raising me. I saw them as my parents and as my aunties and uncles. I turned 21 in the military. I had my first child, my second and third child. My friends were military. So my whole life was in this bubble. And then my dad was in the Air Force, so I grew up as a military brat. So all I knew was this cocoon of service. And so shaping me is my whole life. And that we'll talk about that. If for any veterans here, me getting out, that's where the struggle was. The military was easy for me. I loved it. I did 25 years. God bless it. I love every moment. But when I got out, I totally had that withdrawal. I missed the people. I missed the structure. I missed the titles. I missed the routine. It was very difficult for me. Just transition out.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the transitioning out, because that actually was where I was going next. So how was that?
Okay.
Like you were talking about how you missed it. Like you wake up the day after, and how was that first day? Like that very first day.
Okay, I'm going to be a little long-winded, but I'm going to answer the question.
You're good.
So we're going to... Okay, so here it is. So the first thing when you get out, for me, I slept. So literally, my kids would tell you, so I got my DD-214, you get your paperwork, right, called DD-214, you're done with the military. I slept literally like a week. Like, I don't even think I woke up, took a shower, maybe, I don't know if I fed my kids, I was in a coma. I was just so tired. I didn't realize how many years of movement, momentum, being on the go was in me. Like, you don't know what you carry, because to you, you think it's normal. You think it's your job. But then when I didn't have any more phone calls, I didn't have to respond to no one, I slept. I just slept. So the first week was cool. Then a couple weeks later after that, I took leave. So we went on vacation. I haven't seen my mother. It was her 60th birthday, actually. She turned 60 2 years ago. And my kid, my brother kid, my sister kids, all of us got there because my mom wished for her 60th birthday to have all 8 grandkids because, of course, my military duties. It was always me. It was either I didn't show up for that Christmas or my kids. And then I have 2 separate marriages. So my older son was with his dad. So we all go to North Carolina, but he couldn't go. And then my other husband had his son. And then I go, then he couldn't go. You know, so I was always a child or a grandchild missing, or either I was deployed. So my mother didn't have all 3 kids of her wish and all her 8 grandkids together. So we fulfilled that. We took family photos. And it was all dependent on me because I was always the missing child. So I went after that. I just fulfilled, like, go visit friends. I visit my family. I just loved on people. And I was, you know, I was happy, you know, talking trash, you know, no more military. You can't tell me what to do. So I was happy. So here's where the happiness wears off. So that lasts about 2 months or so. So for 2 months, 2.5, I was good. Now here's the sad part. So the worst part for me, and I want my federal veterans to hear it because you're not alone, is I was on the couch. So my older son, I think he was like 21, so he's older. He was 21 at the time. And I was on the couch, and he looked at me. He said, "Ma, are you supposed to go to work today?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Okay." And then went back downstairs. He's in college. And then I, you know, did my life. Next day, I'm on the couch. And he's like, "Ma, are you supposed to go to work today?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, So he just did his thing. He didn't say nothing. The third day, and then my son's like, "Ma, I need you to call VA. I said, "Yeah, I think so, huh?" He's like, "Something's not right. You need to call VA. So my kids were very aware of, because I had multiple deployments. I was an officer, so I did command and everything. So I had a very hard career, which was a good career, but just very, I took a lot of hard assignments, and my children was aware, my older son especially, of PTSD and also the withdrawal you have in the military, and he's also a neurologist major, so I live with a teacher psychiatrist, so he pretty much knew something was wrong with me, and we called VA and got me an appointment to go in and talk to them about missing, and then just thing, like, I miss my friends. I want to go to PT again. I haven't been a PT, so I was a senior officer. I haven't done PT in years. Like, you know, I do it on my own. But I miss waking up in the morning with people. I miss the good morning, ma'am. I miss the hugs. I miss going to lunch with my friends. I miss having a mission. I just missed it so much. And the civilians that I work with, to me, like, they didn't say good morning. And I was just like, whew. Good morning, like, you don't speak? Yeah. Like, little things like that irritated me. And yeah. I just couldn't, it was hard, man. That's it. So that was my first 90 days, if you will. I slept, had fun, and then had to go to VA. That was it.
Wow, okay. So did you go through therapy to help with that transition once you contacted me?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes, okay, I had to go through therapy. Yes, so I did therapy, and I was so excited about it because unlike a lot of veterans, I'm okay with therapy. I've been in therapy for years, even while I was in the service, because I did some deployments, and, you know, we had some combat tours, and I commanded in combat. So there was a lot of issues and things. So I've been seeing someone for years, and I'm fine with that. I had abusive relationship. So I'm okay with therapy, and I'm very comfortable talking about mental health awareness and health, which is Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes.
But it's about going. Now, here's another thing I would tell you, and I'll be very transparent to people with. So I went to therapy. Yes, it worked. I loved it. I started going back to work. I was doing well, and I started selling. Then I stopped going to therapy. So when things go well, you don't go to therapy anymore. So I stopped, and then I fell into another funk 1.5 years later, and then I just had to get back on it. So that's another thing I watch people with. Like, once you go and get any kind of help or any kind of assistance and it's working, you have to continue it. You just can't go, you know, "Oh, it works. I'm good. I'm happy now." Because you need it for maintenance. You know, you need to have maintenance. So Yeah, so that was it. So that was my story as far as that. So, yes, I did go through therapy and talk to someone, just talk to someone about the transition, someone who understood and what I was going through. And also another thing that would help is getting around other veterans who was getting out and some of my friends, and they will call me like, how is it? How's it over there? And I was like, honey, don't leave. Make sure you do this. And just having fun with them. Then I started hanging out with my friends again. And then it started coming back a little normal, and it made it a little bit easier.
And the reason why I brought the therapy up, and you actually hit the point, because we talk about it on here a lot. I always share my story of how I went to therapy, especially after my divorce, but I stopped going. Things were great. I stopped going. And it was actually my second show. I've been doing this show over a year now. But on my second show, I had one of my mentees as a guest. And she was talking about domestic violence and different things like that. And she was talking about how she had to go back to therapy for things that she thought, you know, everything was going great. And then, boom, something hit her. Something triggered something. And she went back to therapy. And it was like right on the show, I had one of them Oprah aha moments. You need to call your therapist. And I called him the next day. So I was glad that you brought up the aftercare, because sometimes we get so excited because we see such a change that we forget that there still has to be some aftercare there.
Yeah. I relate now. Therapy to me is, I call it like everyone needs an annual checkup, like your dental. So I wrote about it, and I tell my divas, I call them mastermind divas, and we always talk about life and business. And I tell them, to me, therapy is like your dental appointment. Some of us need more dental care than others, right? I need more at that time. You need to get your work done. Sometimes you need braces and teeth pulled, you know, surgery, whatever, root canal. Okay, then after all that stuff is done, you still have to go every 6 months to get a cleaning or make sure cavities, things like that. So if you treat your mental health the same way you treat your physical health, like I tell you now, you need to take physically care of like once a year at least to get your checkup to make sure all your blood work is done, right? And then dental care at least once a year, but preferably twice a year. Same thing with your mental health. Mm-hmm. I would tell you, I'm on every 6 months. I think you need to go and see somebody, even if you feel not, just to talk something out. Every year, you definitely need to go just to say where you've been that year and what you plan on doing for the next year. It will make you feel so much better. And I it's a checkup. And now I don't miss an appointment. I brag about it. I have so many people now. I wrote about it in my book. I'm like the therapy queen now. I'm like, yeah, you need to go to therapy. I'm an advocate.
I get it. I definitely understand. Therapy changed my life. Like, it really changed my outlook on life, and it rescued me in a time that I needed to be rescued. I'm a big advocate for it. So now let's talk about, you talked about being deployed in different countries. You mentioned Germany. How did spending time in other countries change your perspective and outlook on life? Or did it at all?
Well, yes. So I have this thing, and like you said, I heard you saying the show, so no one get mad at me the way I say this. Hopefully it stays this correctly. Just say it with love. Don't be mean to me. But I do have a habit sometimes. I was like, American, and I say American because there's no creed, there's no race, there's no culture. If you're if you live in this country, you blessed. I don't care where you come from. You're blessed if you're in this country. And I tell people, as Americans, because in other countries, literally, I went in Iraq, I was playing with kids. We gave them, like, soccer balls. A brand new soccer ball was their life. It was exercise. It was fun. It was a way to be community. You give a kid now a soccer ball, they look at you like, and what is this for? You know, kids over there, you know, hustling to try to make $2 a feed. You know, and these are kids, like, five-year-olds on their street. And I've seen it, like, in Mexico. Four-year-olds literally on the street selling chiclets and selling food just trying to make money. And in America, we have 17-year-olds who don't even go to work. So I just think we're blessed. I think the water system is blessed. Yes, there are some areas that could do better as far as the water system, but I have drunk water in places that I know there is a God. Because I'm like, dear Lord, please don't let me die over here. Like, the water just was like, and they were fine with it because that's all they know. And, of course, they build up antibodies for that. But we're so blessed in America. And just the way we treat people, I think we need to have more love. And I make comments about that a lot. Mm-hmm. I think as Americans, no matter their gender or race or creed or beliefs, we need to treat everyone with love and respect because when I went to other countries, they want the same thing. They want to have a safe home. They want a clean area, clean environment. They want their kids to grow up safe. They want their love. They want to be in love. They want to have food, and they want clothes on their back. And they just want to have good friends and music to laugh at. It's just like us. No one wants war. No one wants violence. You know, no one wants to be threatened or have their family taken away from them. No one wants that. And I think we have to realize, and as Americans, that we're very blessed to have the freedoms and the right to say what you want to say. Because some countries, you can't say some of the things you say in America. I've seen that, too, as we're over there. You would be killed. And for you to be able to have the right to protest and picket and anything, and even the boycott, is unheard of in other countries. So be blessed. As you're picketing, as you're boycotting, or as you're making a stand, but also do it in love. Just do it in love, because in other countries, if they had the strength to do that, they would be shot on the spot. So I'll just say do it in love, and there's better ways to have our policy change. And it's not for one person or another. I just think everyone in America need to have more love and compassion in their heart. That's it.
Okay. So now let's talk about love. Now, going back to the game, the word is love. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear that word love?
Oh, God. God. When I hear love, truly, I am a woman of faith, and I do say God. I believe that there is one God. However, I believe there is multiple ways to say the word God, if you will, or to say his being, because he is so infinite that he cannot be compared to just a three letters. And you're ridiculous to think three letters can hold him. I don't believe that.
Right.
I like in any language, you can say hola, you can say bonjour, you can also say aloha, then God can be said the same as well. It's all about culture. And it's all about their understanding of what that concept of hello means, the same concept of love means. So for me, God is love. Is how do you treat people, and do you believe there's something bigger than you and that you're not so self-absorbed? Because if you have love, then you have no room to hate and hurt and cuss and be mean to people. And by cuss, I'm not saying like little cuss words or something. I mean truly the cursing of hoping ill will for people. Fast, or, you know, just doing demean things like, you know, killing, shooting, hunting people. I mean, that's, come on now. That's nonsense. That is not of God. That's not love.
Absolutely. I totally agree with everything you said there, especially with the, you know, how you broke it down with how we have other words in other languages that we can't constrain God to those three letters. And I think that when we understand that, then we could begin to love each other a lot more versus trying to make everybody think, like, I want you to think like I think. No, sometimes we need their thought processes sometimes to help us solve some of the problems that we have. And if we could get past the fact that they don't sound like us, look like us, walk like us, talk like us, make the decisions we make, then we could honestly see ourselves in a better light than we're in right now. So I totally agree with that. Now, we talked about love. We talked about God. Faith.
All right, so the word faith, I'm going to have to do what my son would tell you. I don't have a word for it. I'm going to tell you, I put my hands up in the air right now, and I'm like, whoo, Lord, I thank you. That's it. That's my word. It's emotion. It's my hand. My hand is literally raised in the air right now. When you said faith, I'm like, oh, Lord. Because all I can do is have a flashback of where I've been, and that to me is faith. Like, I don't even have a word for it. I just have my life.
Right.
Like, honey, if you all knew me then, that's faith.
And I like what you said. You said, if you see me, my hands are raised. It provokes you to a state of surrender. That's the only thing that you can really define it as. Like, I know where I've been. You might not know the whole story, but I know where I've been, and I know where I am now, and I know where I'm going. So, yeah, I get it. I get it. So now, here's a word that we talk a lot about on the show. These last couple of words are words that we talk a lot about. The first one is purpose. Purpose.
Okay, so purpose. We're going to break this one down, too, because I talk about purpose a lot. When I teach my masterminds, I teach purposeful results. I don't want people just to get results or just to win in life. I want you to win on purpose, within your purpose, not take from someone else. We're not trying to get anything else. We want to get what's for us, our gifts, right? So I'm very big about people making money, earning money, and living in their purpose. Now, here's the thing. There's a difference between purpose and assignment. That I want to be in my purpose. I don't know my purpose. That irritates me. I cannot stand. I cannot stand when people say, I don't know my purpose. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Just sit down and relax. Everyone has the same purpose, as far as I'm concerned. Your purpose is to serve in your gift with the love. That's it. Serve with your gifts in love. Just do what you're good at and love what you're doing. Serving, loving, and gifts. That's all is our purpose. Now, the problem you have with that is, what is your assignment? How do you do your gifts? You may not know all your gifts. All your gifts may not be revealed to you. So when people say, I don't know my purpose, no. You know your purpose. Maybe you don't know all your gifts. Maybe you don't know how to serve. That's a lot of people don't know how to even serve, what it means to actually give to someone without thinking you're being weak or I'm not going to do that. I mean, that's, come on. Serving sometimes means you putting somebody first or you teaching. That's also another part of service is teaching. And then last one I said in love, and I think a lot of people don't love what they do. Therefore, they feel like they're not in their purpose. No, your assignment is to do something in love. Just because you're having a hard time somewhere, but maybe your assignment is to show the love of God in that place. Maybe your assignment is to be the best typist or the best briefer at that time or the best whatever. Who knows what your assignment is, but your purpose is to do what you do, your gift. Serve means to give it without expecting something back, but do it in love because you enjoy it. I wake up every morning and I enjoy what I do. And the people say, well, it's easy for you to be in purpose. No, I have a good assignment. I quit my job and started my own business because God told me, this is where you're going to do your gift I gave you in this assignment. But I was in the military for 25 years, totally different assignment, but I was still teaching. I was still doing what I'm doing now. I had a podcast there. I did radio shows there. You couldn't stop me. And by the way, I put on a weapon and went and deployed. But in between, I knew what my gifts were, was to mentor and love on people. It doesn't change. Your purpose doesn't change. You know what you're here for. It's how you're going to do what you're going to do. So that's what I think about purpose.
That's good. That's good. So now, from the way that you broke purpose down, what do you say to those who say, okay, I get what you're saying. I don't know what my gift is.
Okay, favorite one. Your gift is whatever you, what do, and it's so cliche, where everyone's like, well, what does someone tell you to do and you wouldn't have to get paid, that you would do what it says for free or something if you had all the money in the world? You know, you heard
you
of that,
had all the,
like that.
If it, money wasn't a problem and you could do it for free, what is it that you would do?
Right. So I do believe in those. I think it's kind of like a blah kind of thing. So I know people heard of that. So this is what I would tell you then. What I believe your gifts are, you need to go and seek one yourself. I always tell people, write down what do you like to do. Also, if you have a trusted family member, good mama, friend, somebody, what do they always tell you? Like, girl, you always doing that. Or, boy, you just love, I love it. You always helping the little kids. You're really good at basketball. Whatever they say you're really good at stuff, that's usually your gift. So I'm going to use my daughter as an example. Her gift is art. She loves art. She loves helping. She loves fixing things. And she's been, that's been her gift since she was like a baby, because she drew on everything, like my floor, my cabinet, everything. She just like, mommy, I have to express myself. Mom, I have something. I have to write it. I said, okay, so your gift is that you're going to have to express yourself, and you have art form to give and to show people how you feel. Okay. So now she's always helping people and always listening to people, and now she's not really too much into the art and writing, but her art now comes into writing stories. She not only likes to write poetry, but no matter what, her gift is to express. But it's just her assignment is how she's going to express herself. But she loves to do that. She just said, I love just to give people what I think. Okay, now let's see how we can do that. And just allow, so I think everyone has good gifts. And I don't know, Cliff, that's a hard one. Because I'm thinking now still of my answer, like, truly believe you know your gifts. You just, okay, give me a minute. I just saw something. The scripture that has the one talent, the two talent, and the five talent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
five.
Remember the master?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Okay, the one, the two, the five, right? Okay, everyone, stick with me on this. I just saw this vision. Everyone is given gifts, talent, money, however you want to say it. Okay, but we're going to use gifts in this example. Is given gift from the master, God. Some gave one, some gave two, same gave five. It depends on your ability, right? Now,
right,
one with one hid it. He knew he had it. He hid it, acting like it wasn't worth anything. Just hid it like it had no value, you know, and said, well, I'm going to bring it right back to you the way it is. The one that had two was like, okay, let me go out and see what I'm going to do. He may have lost it. He made a risk, but he took a risk and tried, came back with four. The one with five came back with 10. Now, and you know there's something into double, because I'm a financial advisor, so always teaching people you better double your money, because that's biblical. That's I'm going to slip that in real quick. If you ain't doubling your money, it's biblical. You're supposed to come back with double, fold. So the one that hid had his talent, and he had something, but felt it wasn't valuable, felt he would lose it. So he was scared to use it. Remember, he said he was fearful. So usually most people have gifts, and I don't think, Cliff, people saying, like, I don't know my gift. I think you know your gift. I think you're fearful. I'm going to call you out. I think you have fear. I think you're holding on to it because you're scared of rejection. Are you scared of failing? You don't want to take the risk like the person with two gifts and five gifts. And you need to take that risk because you're not going to multiply and you're not going to really know all you can do with whatever unless you go out there. So I think it's more of you do know your gift. You just have a fear of actually using it and trying to see if you can make it into something. And those also, and I'll leave it alone, but that's also the same people that get upset with the one that was given two or five gifts. I tease everybody when we do networking stuff, and I'm kind of one of those kind of people, if you guys can tell. I really believe I'm God's favorite daughter. And I tell people, don't get mad at me because he gave me five talents. Don't get mad because I came back with 10.
Right.
I wasn't scared. Because trust me, I dropped some, lost some, failed some. But by the grace of God, I still came back out with something to give back to him. You know, I didn't make all 10. I lost something in the process of trying to bring 10 back to him. But people think that you have to be perfect. And they fear, and because that, they're scared to take that risk or scared to not have rejection. They hide their gifts. And the short answer, you know your gift. You're just scared. That's it. At least I'll be
and,
that way.
And that's
now.
What I
no.
I was hoping we got to that. That's exactly where I was hoping we got to, because I was I wanted to bring across the point that many people know exactly what it is, but they have spent their whole life looking at what somebody else does and the capacity that somebody else does it in. So now they minimize their gift, their talent, their ability. They minimize the influence they could have because now they're measuring it against somebody else. I don't want to sing.
I love that.
I know I sound good. I do know I sound good. I'm not going to tell you I know I sound good. But because I can't sing like this person or because somebody told me, because I in my workshops I make people close their eyes and they got to go back to first grade and second grade when you gave the wrong answer. And everybody laughed at you, and you made up your mind in second grade that I will never step out and take a risk again because I don't want to be laughed at. And I believe that until we can get beyond that and get beyond the person that pulled our chair out and we fell down, we'll never be able to maximize our purpose by walking in our assignment. I definitely agree there, like, the one, the two, the five. Now, master, I knew you're a hard master. His whole perception of the master was wrong. He was so focused on the wrong thing, you know, that he didn't understand the opportunity that was presented before him. And I always tell people, you have to know the opportunity that is presented. Did I always know it? Absolutely not. Well, did I always know it? I'm going to say yes. Did I always exercise it? No. I'm like you. I dropped some. You know, I broke some. Some came back a little damaged. But I learned and brought them back. And that's the key thing, guys. You're out there. You have it. Use it. Start on whatever level you need to start on because it will never grow and mature until you take the time to allow it to be exercised. So that's it. I agree totally with that. All right, so the last word for the game is transformation. Transformation.
Okay. So transformation is becoming more of yourself. You have to do transformation means to me, you have to really I just see myself becoming more like it's kind of almost like shedding your skin, if you will. I think in this is nothing but a vessel, right? And as we grow up, we were infants all the way to adult. I believe, and one of the things I talk to my young ladies about is when do we stop growing? And especially my older mothers, and they look at me and they're like, "What do you mean? I'm too old for this." I'm like, "Honey, when do you stop growing? Remember these diapers? You couldn't wait till the baby got to walk in. You couldn't wait to get to kindergarten. You couldn't wait to high school and college. But then it gets to the point where we were young, mommy and daddy, even ourselves, waiting to get to the next level. Then there's something in your 40s and 50s. You just said, this is the finish line. No, it's not. You got to keep transforming and keep going to the next level. Now, it may not be a school. It may not be a PhD. But in the spirit realm, you still have classes. You still have assignments. You still have things to work on until that time has come. Well done. Until well done comes, you got to keep transforming yourself and becoming a better version of what the Almighty blew inside. Ooh, Lord, I want to preach. When he blew that spirit in you. Like, I felt like preaching there. Right. Like, that spirit, that is the essence. Like, you got the breath of God in you. You ain't done.
Yeah.
You're not done.
Yeah.
You're not done. Oh, no.
That's what I always tell people, too. And I'm like, sometimes we don't get it. He breathed his breath into us to bring forth life. And then it said that we were shaped in his likeness and his image. Then it said the same power that raised Jesus from the dead resides inside of us.
Yes.
The sad part is that we don't even realize the power that's inside of us. And that's what I really want us to begin to understand. Like, if we can just, we don't have to understand the fullness of the power, but if we can begin to understand just a little teeny bit of that power, then we can begin to make some major moves. and mm-hmm. help transform this world, because our world is sick right now. You know, we're going through this pandemic. Everybody's searching for an answer. Everybody's searching for something. Like, it is the most vulnerable state that the entire world has ever been in while I've been alive. You know, it may have been some other mm-hmm. things before. I've never experienced anything like this. And everybody is searching for something. And if we can just take this time with ourselves, let ourselves be rebuilt, like you said, take that knee, then we'll understand the problems that we were created to solve. And then, like you said, we can monetize that. Now, let's talk about the monetization of the gift. Because I read your bio when I first read your bio, and I said, oh, this is it right here. I said, because that's what's absent a lot of times. We're sitting here working 6-7 jobs, stressed out, and, you know, not making very good financial decisions. So how do we get to that place where we learn how to monetize those gifts?
Okay, this is where I love talking about this. Thank you. So I mm-hmm. am one of those faith-based people that do believe in money. Money is not evil. Money is their own thing. And when I have money, which is nothing but a resource, it allows me to build and help those who cannot take care of themselves, such as young kids, widows, and older people. And also it allows me to leave an inheritance for my family. Now, I say little words like that because we're not going to argue about what is written. Now, when we're talking about monetizing your gift, what it say? Your gift will make room for you. It will bring you mm-hmm. before great people, correct? So in the world, before we had so-called businesses, you used to monetize your gift. The baker baked and change a gift for shoes. The shoemaker made shoes. The the seamstress made clothes. So business is this new way thing we used to call. But back then, monetizing and trading your gift was a way of life. We got out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now we go even deeper down and out of when we came out of slavery. And this is for African Americans and for Black Americans. I always hit them on mm-hmm. this: is remember your gifts and your talent. Yes, you was a maid. My family, my great-grandmothers were maid, but they got paid for their service because they had the gift to clean. They had the gift to cook. They had the gift to take care of children. She also had a gift to do a piano teaching. So what it means is whatever ability that you have, once again, we said is about serving your gifts in love, you should get paid for that. So how do we do that? You just do it. So my gift is teaching. I come up, and now with technology, Phyllis, and you said you can get with Zoom or you can get some kind of program, put together a teacher. You can teach outside or before the library. We used to do the library. I used to get a room out there before the pandemic, but now I do it all online. And I didn't charge anything. I say, hey, you guys, this is a subject I love to talk about. If you're willing to listen, here. And people was willing to listen and willing to donate. So if you're putting out value, people will pay you for that value. And mm-hmm. and another thing, you need a strategy. And this is where I would tell people, Cliff, I do have like a free mastermind I'm doing with women. I'm a tither. So one of my things I tithe is mm-hmm. my gift and my time.
Mm-hmm.
So for 1 hour a week, I give my time to anybody that comes on and say, can you help me with my business? And that's what I do.
Wow.
And they can do that. It's Insight Mastermind Circle. It's a Facebook group. You guys get in there. Just try me. Get in there. Tell me your gift and say, how do I monetize it? I'll figure it out. I have a group of young ladies in there with me. We will work together to help you be successful. But I believe truly anything could be monetized. You just have to, look at now, everyone making masks, Cliff. Think about the money people are making with that situation. And it's
absolutely
supposed to be healthcare. People are getting paid,
absolutely,
making money.
Yes. One of my friends sent me a mask from Texas. He's a fashion designer. I'm telling you, I love what you said and how you paralleled it to the time past. They did what their gift was, and they were paid for it. Now, do you believe, because this is just my belief, with this pandemic, prior to this pandemic, I had a show in December, and God had dealt with me prophetically concerning 2020, and he had told me that 2020 was going to be the year of the creative. It was a year that he was going to shift the creative into the forefront, okay? Now, he didn't tell me about the pandemic. I'm not going to sit here and pretend he told me that. You know, some people pretend some stuff. But I'm not going to pretend that. But he told me about the shift that was about to take place. Do you believe that the pandemic now has positioned us in a way to go back to that model of financial freedom and structure to where we can take those principles that were taught before and now apply them and attach them to the gifts that we have, and now we can begin to see some of those financial freedoms?
Absolutely. So one of the things I do have, I teach my own money system. Like you said, I still do financial planning, and I teach my own system for, especially for women and their families, to receive financial freedom. And the biggest thing that I was saying when God was speaking to me about 2020 was still vision, right? Everyone was talking about the vision 2020. Mm-hmm. I still say we have a vision. And I went into prayer and I asked God, because I know what I heard. 2020 is still the year of vision, like you said. It's to shift people, right? It depends on how you see 2020. Mm-hmm. People thought 2020 means it's going to be clear and walk through. No. Because I also heard him say this is the year to plant. And I was telling people, like when I have a talk I did in January before the pandemic, and I'm like, I didn't say anything, but I was telling people and I was teaching, this is the year to plant. No matter what happens or what you do, you need to have in your mind that you're going to win. This is your year, because you're going to be pushed into another realm. So whatever you sow, whatever you believe in, whatever you do, it will come back. So this is the year not to get weary. This isn't the year to change your mind. Then this hit. So then all my friends and people were talking to you, like, see, it's not this. I said, be careful what you're planning. If you plant doubt, negativity, it will come back to you. I said, the word, I'm telling you, if you say, okay, this is a time, like you said, the reset, the rest. This is a time for monetization. This is a time for your finances. And we teach multiple streams of income. I'm a big proponent for that. I believe when I teach people how to one, protect your family. We call it the money pie. So we teach you how to protect your family with insurance, estate, and disability insurance, because a lot of people need disability insurance. Then we talk about multiple streams of income, because financial freedom is when you get to the point in your life where you have the freedom to make decisions if you want to go to that job or not. So myself, I ended up quitting my job recently. I did have a corporate job along with my hustles and everything else I did, but my business and the hustles and everything else I was doing were kind of, I can't serve two masters, right? You have to pick where you're going to put your attention at. So I let go of the corporate job. People are like, oh my gosh, I said, yeah, but that was controlling me. So I had to let go of that. But because I had 3, 4, 5 other sources of income coming in, I can let that go. I had the freedom to say, okay, Lord, shift me and let me know where to go. And that's what when you're saying the shift, I love shifting, because when you have economic freedom, you can shift. And like these business owners, yes, your business have one stream of income. Maybe you're like the like restaurants. Some of the restaurants shift and went more to drive-through and went more to do. You have to be able to shift and adapt and move with the flow. And those who did well and sustained. They didn't go out of business. But the ones that freaked out and said, well, I can't do nothing, you shifted out of, you're just gone. So you, life ain't nothing will ever promise to us it's going to be clear and what you call it, smooth sailing. So, yes, this is definitely a year for economic. And that's what most of the stuff I'm teaching now. I have more women now want to start businesses, and they want to talk about money now. I said, now we want to talk about money. All right, let's get it.
I'm glad
about this money thing.
And I'm glad they called on to it, because sometimes we can be so easily distracted by clutter and everything that else that's going on that we miss the blessing of what's going on. And I know, and I'm very sensitive to the amount of deaths that have taken place during the pandemic. I'm very sensitive to that. But I also tell those that are still here, there's still purpose behind it. And my pastors used to always tell us, in everything, find your place of praise. Find the place of praise wrapped in everything. And I told them, wrapped in this is an opportunity for you to sit down and write out that business plan. Write out a vision plan for your life, more importantly. Write that thing out first. If you're going to do a vision board, you're going to do whatever it is you're going to do, do something and connect it to some action, because you have nothing but time right now. And time can't, you can't get that time back when you waste it. Now, God can speed some things up, but, you know, time is very important. And sometimes I think you were talking about how you tithe your time, your gift and the time that you tithe. And I think sometimes we are missing, some people are missing the gift of time that has been given to them while we're in the pandemic.
Yeah, I wrote two books. I'm reading an e-book now. I took the time. I was like, oh, let me redo my curriculum. That's what I did with the time. I was like, oh, okay, because I don't have to drive and do all these network meetings anymore. I decided to say, okay, where can I focus and put my effort at? But, yeah, I just love how you were talking about, like, just the financial freedom. And I am also very sensitive to everything as well. And I don't want people all to think, like, I'm not sensitive to it. But also, because I had this conversation with somebody, because I'm military, and I've seen so many deaths, and I've seen so many things, and I've had multiple deployments, and I was like, it was hard. But once you've seen things like that and you feel things, and mind to tell a parent, it wasn't worth, you know, and I'm so I'm always careful and understand everyone's sensitivity and where they are. But also, I believe in the Almighty too, where I just said, Lord, I love you. I don't know it all, but I just, you know, I pray faith and grace over everyone, you know, and even myself, have grace, mercy on everyone. And only you know the reasons for whatever, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now, you said you've written two books. How soon are they going to be coming out?
Okay, so both of them are on Amazon now. So the first book I have, I just did an update to it. It's called Insight 2020, Applying Lessons to its Advance in Life and Career. So you can pick that up on Amazon, or you go to my website, WandaBooth.com. It's really easy. And you can get it directly from me, and I'll sign it. Now, the second book I have to put on my website. But when we're talking about mental health, I work with some young ladies, and I do, like, some big sister mentoring. And one of the things – and I also have a child – I have a 15-year-old daughter myself. And a lot of these little girls, I'm trying to get young women into therapy. That's my thing. So that's my other gig when we're talking about changing the world. One of the things I'm trying to do is start younger. I want you to go to therapy and get all that off of you at 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, so you're not 30 and 40 in your third relationship, or, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get these young girls healed before the age of 18. So that's my mission. So in doing that, I have some girls, some like therapy, some don't. So I wrote a book called You Matter Most, and it helps build your confidence, and it helps you cope with anxiety, because a lot of young girls, were the two things I've heard most was their confidence. They didn't want to speak. They didn't want to be seen. They were scared about their bodies, you know, the way they look. And then second was their anxiety. Everyone kept using this buzzword. Man, you don't understand, Ms. Juan. I have anxiety. My anxiety. I'm like, you don't. What is it? Tell me what anxiety is. You just telling me you have this thing. So they keep using this buzzword. So I started doing worksheets and started doing journaling, because I teach journaling, but they didn't know what to write. So that was the other issue. I don't know what to write. So I just went ahead and made up this whole book. And now I used it with my daughter, and my daughter made a comment. I say, hey, you know, how do you like this? How do these worksheets look? And she's like, oh, I like this. She's like, I wish that my therapist would use this on me. She's like, then I will feel better. I said, like, what do you mean? She's like, I don't like the question she's asked. I'd rather just fill out this journal and then come in and then talk to her about what I wrote for the week. And she was like, but she just wanted to ask me, like, how was your day? You know, stuff like that. And she hates doing that. And I was like, okay. And I said, well, let me put this together. So right now I have a couple organizations I'm looking for to look at it and see if it will be useful. And I'm looking at a boy version. Someone asked me, do I have one for boys? I didn't think of it. It's just I work with young ladies. I didn't leave the boys out. But I just do a lot of work with the young ladies. But I'm looking at doing a male version of it. But the same thing. But it's just a journal. It's just a guided 8-week journal. Mm-hmm. And you just write down every day and you track your mood every day. So they can realize that every day don't suck, as they tell me. It sucks every day. No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. You just have one bad day out of the whole month. That don't mean the whole month sucks. Don't calm down.
Right.
Trust me. I'm like, honey, you're only 13. Trust me. Just life is good. Wash the
dishes. That's awesome. Okay.
They get mad.
Awesome. Awesome.
So yeah, that's it. So those are my two projects, and then I'm working on something for my $1 million divas. So I'm helping women get to $1 million in their business. So that's our next project.
Okay, okay. Now, I don't know if you noticed it, but we actually talked that stuff off the air a little while ago.
Yes.
So I'm going to get to these last three questions.
Okay.
And like I said, after the second question, that's when I'll give you the opportunity just to give everybody your information. When your next, if you have any webinars coming up that they can sign up for, all of those things. Okay, so now the first question I like to ask off the air is, you have hit us with so much over this hour, given us so much that we can eat on for a long time. But if the listeners forgot everything that you said tonight, what would be one thing that you would want them to remember?
So in honor of mental health, if you know you want to talk to someone, and if you are in therapy, talk to someone. I've been there, continue to go, even if it's just a couple times a year, a couple times, you know, once a month, don't quit. It is going to work, even though it seems good, to stay faithful to the process.
Awesome, awesome. And then second, on the show, we like to honor what we call transforming transformers. And transforming transformers can be mentors, pastors, spiritual leaders, those people in the community that help push and motivate individuals to be the best version of themselves. Transforming transformers are those who have been transformed themselves or have submitted to the process of transformation and are dedicated to making sure that others experience it as well. Throughout your life journey, who were the transforming transformers for you? Do you have anybody you would like to shout out and just thank for being those transforming transformers in your life?
Yes, I have two people for sure. They're both past. They're sitting in heaven right now. It would be Granny G, which is my grandmother. And then be my mother, Stephanie. My mom just passed away in August 2019, so I'm still in my year of grieving. They're both my transforming transformers because my grandmother, as women, they both went through a lot. Both went through abuse, divorces, all kinds of stuff. But at the end of the day, they always made sure we ate. They always made sure we were educated, and they always made sure we had faith. And our family was always faith, family, and education. And with my mother had me as a teen. So I would tell anybody who's a teen mother or I'm a product of a teen mother, I didn't understand her a lot. I blamed her a lot. But then when I had kids and I got older, I realized that, whoa, she was, you know, 24 already with an 8-year-old, you know. I didn't realize that. So I had to apologize for a lot of things that I said and thought, because you don't really understand the age difference until you become a mother. And I really realized 16 was a child. She was still a child raising a child. So I had to transform my own thinking because I had some opinions And I had a, which, you know, those left seeds in my own head. So I had to heal my own self and say sorry, because hurt people hurt people. And you just realize sometimes people who love you are just hurt. And she was just a young child. So those are my two.
Awesome, awesome.
And now they made me who I am today. I'm blessed.
And now, because of what they did in your life, you're doing that in the lives of others. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about. That's why we like to honor Transforming Transformers on the show, because many times a lot of the Transforming Transformers do things in the background, and sometimes they're overlooked or don't receive any public accolades or public acknowledgement, I'm sorry. And they don't even do it for the public acknowledgement. But I purpose in my heart to make sure that we give those who are our support system and push us when we need to be pushed, fuss us out when we need to be fussed out, but encourage us when we need to be encouraged. I want to give them, you know, the forefront sometimes. They make sure we look good on the stage, so we want to sometimes bring them up on the stage as well. So now I want you to give everybody your contact information, your website, where they can purchase your book. And the one thing I like about the book, I didn't get to bring this up, Insight 2020. I saw on a video where you said a lot of people say hindsight is 2020, but it's not. So I want you to talk a little bit more about your Insight 2020, but give people your website, your social media handles, and all of those things as well.
Okay. So let's go with the Hindsight 2020. So as people would say, hindsight is 2020. I do not like that term in my company. We do not speak hindsight, because to me that means you're looking back. It's woulda, coulda, shoulda. And I do not live my life in woulda, coulda, shoulda, or whatever. It happened, the past doesn't exist. It took a lot of mental growing up and a lot of mental therapy and everything to realize that. So for me, all I worry about is this point, this moment, and what I may be able to do in the next 5 or 10 minutes. So right now, I have to watch my behavior, watch what I think, watch what I say, and stay focused for the future. So it's all about the insight. So when we talk about insight, is take those lessons, those mistakes, those failures. I'm not saying it didn't exist. What I'm saying is we're not going to focus on it or say that I wish I would have done that. No, now that you know today, today you are going to make that new decision, because in 2020 we're going forward with a new mind, new responsibilities, but also with new wisdom. So we look forward to things. And that's what we do with Insight 2020. Take those lessons and move forward to your advancement. We can't worry about the past. Just make new decisions now. Now, and now you guys can get me. My name is Wanda Booth, and Wanda is W-A-N-D-A, Booth, B-O-O-T-H. And you put it together. That's my website, is wandabooth.com. The name of my company is called Insight Masterminds with an S.com. I do believe in insight, and I do believe in masterminds. And so you put that together, and there go my company. And there you will find a link to the book. Insight 2020 is on there. If you want to look at the You Matter Most, if you know somebody or an organization, I'm trying to donate these books. I'm also trying to get in the hands of young people or young women who just need to talk, figure out ways to build their self-confidence. Reach out to me. Our email address is either Wanda at insightmasterminds.com or my success team, and it's just successteam at insightmastermind.com as well. My team will get my emails for me. And right now, we're doing a lot of stuff for free. So we have a lot of giveaways and stuff, because we're just leaving giving. So the first major thing is on Facebook, Insight Mastermind Circles, a Facebook group. Go in there, become a member, become one of my Mastermind Divas. I help you with your business. I do go in there live, so it's no fake person. It's me. I do not charge for that. That's my gift back to God to say, I'm here to help you. If you want to excel, there's no need to pay for coaching. I will help you. The other thing I'm doing is called my Million Dollar Insight. It's also for women business owners. We're not trying to tell you it's all about money, but we use the $1 million because if you know the statistics, less than 2% of women who are in business, which there's over 30% of women in business, do not even earn near the $1 million mark. But yet men are like 3.5 more likely to have more money. And women business owners are also in more debt and also using their personal finances to fund their business, which is not a business. So we're trying to help more women stay in business, especially during this whole corona thing. We've seen that if your finances weren't correct, you probably lost your business or your business suffered. And that money, you know, do the math. Some of that money will have to be repaid if you got to the CARE Act or the PPP. So what we're doing is we're trying to help women get to the $1 million mark. You can find it on my website. It's right there. It's a free webinar, WandaBooth.com. It's on Eventbrite. Just register. And if you can't make it that day, register anyway because we will have a replay and you can get back in on the replay of it. So that's it. That's
awesome,
all I'm doing
awesome.
For now, I think.
Awesome. Now, I end, just like I start the conversation with the same question to everybody, I end the conversation with the same question to everybody as well. So,
okay.
My last question to you tonight is, who is God to you?
God to me is just, once again, my friend, is my exhale. God to me, I picture me now, my eyes are closed, and he said he's God to me. I immediately close my eyes and bow my head and exhale. God to me is my breath. He is my being. He is my cover, and I am just grateful. So God to me is, by me, I am the vessel. And I'm just blessed. So that's God. He's everywhere and inside me. That is my God.
Amazing. See, guys, those that are listening and you listen faithfully, you can tell the same testimony. I ask this question to everybody for a reason as well. We don't get the same answers when we ask this question. And the reason why I do that is because I want us all to come to a place where we understand that our consciousness of God can be expanded when we have conversations with people that are packed with purpose. Each and every one of us has experienced God in a different capacity and different dimensions. But when we connect with each other and we share our stories, we're being introduced to God in a whole nother way. So don't close yourself from being introduced to God through individuals that you sometimes would never talk to, because sometimes that may be your greatest introduction to the next dimension of God that you need for your personal life. So Wanda, again, I thank you for joining us on tonight. Listening audience, I thank each and every one of you, because without you, there would be absolutely no show. We're back here on Monday with another show. Make sure you tune in at 10 p.m. to find out who's going to be on the show and all of our upcoming shows, as well as to listen to the replay of all of our previous shows. You can visit www.trans4mason.info. If that's too much for you, just visit my website, www.cliftonpettyjohn.com. There's a tab there. You can also find my podcast there. You'll find services. Everything's right there. You'll find it. Connect with me on social media. Simply type in Clifton Pettyjohn. And as I always say to each and every one of you, first of all, I want you guys to know that you are amazing. You are amazing. You are absolutely amazing. And greatness is inside of you, and that's why this program exists. This program exists for you to become more aware of the greatness that is inside of you. So I hope tonight, and I believe if you listen tonight, you're walking away with a greater awareness of the greatness that's inside of you. And since you're walking away with a greater awareness, as I always say, create a great day, walk with purpose, and by all means, execute your vision. Peace. Can you identify any areas in your life where stagnation is manifesting? Now, I know some of you might say, no, I can't. Well, I want us to look at stagnation for what it really is. Some people have identified stagnation as something that's not growing or that's not producing. I don't believe that's stagnation. To me, stagnation can also be that, yes, we're growing, yes, we're producing. However, we're growing and producing in a manner that's disrespectful to the purpose and the greatness that resides inside of us. And listen, we all have areas where we can identify that we could be doing a lot better in. There's greater potential in those areas than we are experiencing. And guess what? I have a tool that will help you begin to experience transformation in those areas of stagnation in your life. And that tool is called From Stagnation to Transformation. That's right. That is my book, From Stagnation to Transformation. So I want you to head over to my website, www.cliftonpettyjohn.com. I want you to hit there. I want you to hit the Transformation tab. There you're going to find a free preview of my book. That's right, a free preview of my book. And I promise you, after you read the preview, you're going to want to invest in your personal transformation through purchasing the book. So again, head over there. Purchase the book. Let me know you purchased it. Here's what I always say, guys. If you purchase the book, you read the book, you apply the principles in your life, and yet you still are stagnant in the areas that you are applying them to, and you're not experiencing any transformation, and you can prove to me that you have applied these principles, I will give you a 100% refund. That's right, a 100% refund. Why? Because I believe in the application of the principles that are outlined in this book. So again, visit www.cliftonpettyjohn.com and purchase your copy of From Stagnation to Transformation.